Let's go back and read verse 7. It says, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again." Don't think it's a big deal that you need something else to equip you. Don't let this feeling hinder you from knowing that you need an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. We all need more of Him. We all need more of Him. And don't get stuck on the thought of thinking that, well, if I don't have this, then I don't have it at all. What God is trying to say through this word and through what Jesus was saying to Nicodemus was that though you may be committed, there must be another breaking of this flesh that the law alone wouldn't have been able to take care of. You see, in that time, Jesus was facing persecution from a people that nowadays you couldn't even find because they were so religious, so tied to the law, that anything that you did outside of the law, it didn't matter how much of God that you felt. It didn't matter that Jesus had done all the miracles. They were still after Him in spite of doing everything for the people. So when love came in through the Holy Ghost, it put the law in its place, for love fulfilled the law. Therefore, when we love people, we will do what? Works of the Spirit. What are some things that I'll know that I'm in the kingdom of God? Well, first of all, you'll have some long suffering. Don't get me started on that. You'll have a little bit of patience. You'll possess meekness. You'll be able to endure some things. I'm telling you this, I'm going to just say it very plain. You'll know that the Holy Ghost is working in you if you're able to overcome the attacks of the devil. Man, I feel that with all that's in me tonight. You'll know that you have what you need if you're able to overcome. If you always feel like you're just barely getting in the door, not having the strength to just to even lift up your hands and praise the Lord, it's time to get desperate for more of Him. It's time that we would fulfill the hunger of the Spirit of God. If I would have just left it at the time when God saved me, I'd still be sitting in the and I'd still just be playing a guitar here and there. And I would just be the same old guy that failed in the same old things. But I thank Him that I have a new birth today. And that which I feel today is greater than anything that's in the world. And I'm glad that God has raised me up for this calling. Sometimes I don't feel worthy, but I remember when He birthed that in me, that I became His child. You may not claim me, but I know that God does. Verse 8 says, "The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound, but canst tell from where it comes and whither it goes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit." In an unexpected place, in an unexpected time, it always seems like when the darkest hour is upon me, the Spirit of God begins to work. Jesus, as He was on the cross, went into the darkest hours of the night. They had placed a crown of thorns upon His head. They had lashed Him and forced Him to walk with that cross up to the hill of the skull. Brought Him up that He would suffer for what they thought was a violation of the law. Yet all the while, He was in travail. He was bringing forth something that without it, I would not enter into the kingdom of heaven. He laid down His life for me and for you and for every man and woman that draws breath. There is a place in the kingdom of God where I'm going to go one day, but I would have never known my mansion had He not pushed when His flesh was weak. He was tempted in the wilderness to give up even before it started. Don't give up. Don't get stuck in the wilderness. You rebuke Satan and move on. Don't stay out in the wilderness. Go and do what you're called to do. Well, brother, I don't have what I need to be able to do it. God has given you everything that you need to overcome everything. If it would have just been committing to God and saying, Lord, I'll serve you. Why does it seem like that we fail so much? If it would have been enough just to go into the water and to say, I believe and it is confirmed, why is it that we still fail? There had to be more. Even for the highest called disciples, there had to be a move. There had to be something that though Jesus went away, that he not only prepared a place for us as this body passes, but he prepared a place in here. That when we open up our mouth and say, God, I believe in your spirit. And I believe in the Holy Ghost. And I seek you, God, for a deeper walk. That by that sacrifice, we then had authority to ask for what we needed to overcome. Glory to God. Some of us may be wondering, how is it, Jared, that I am to seek God for a stronger anointing? If you ever have tried to pray that and feel oppression in your heart, I encourage you to get past it. I encourage you to let the tears flow. Let the words pour out. And if you're doing, and the best way I can say it is, if you're doing all that you know to do and you are righteous before God in that prayer, you will feel his presence. So many people get let down because they come up and pray for the Holy Ghost, but they don't get it in that moment. And the only thing that I can rest assured in knowing that if there's something in our heart that we're not willing to let go of, something in our heart that's troubled us that we're not willing to put complete trust in God, then there cannot be a full outpouring. When you consider the day of Pentecost, consider with me that they finally came into one voice. They came into one mind and they were in agreement with one another. If you cannot come into a point where you are sound mind before God, it will be very hard, if impossible, to feel his presence that way. How many of you have ever been discouraged and then finally mustered up enough of your own courage to get down and pray and you say, Lord, here I am. I've done all I know to do. I need your help. Amen. Frustrated. Aggravated. Let me ask you, when you prayed that prayer, did you feel the anointing? Did you feel his presence? Are we praying empty each and every day when we're discouraged? Had we not had the Holy Ghost, our prayers would have been empty. By the outpouring of the Holy Ghost at Pentecost, they began to speak in a language they did not know. In other words, they begin to communicate in a language that was not hindered by this body, by this mind, and by this heart. The anointing of God will surpass all of that. It will give you the ability to communicate directly to God in a way that you are not hindered by your own doubt. I remember that when God delivered me from drugs and I felt the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I remember that coming just like a flood. I didn't have to fight with it. I didn't have to wonder what it was going to sound like. I just remember feeling the fellowship of the Spirit. And I just began to praise God. And I remember I laughed in the Spirit for about 30 minutes. Laid out on the floor just laughing. And I loved it. It was a wonderful experience. But I remember talking in a language that I never had. And I remember the first time I prayed after that prayer. And I began to be a little bit afraid in my heart and wonder, well, God, is that just one time? Is that something that I'll never get to feel again? Or Lord, how is it that I'm able to communicate when I'm alone in my situation? And I remember just coming into total surrender before God. And I remember driving down the road in my car at the time. And I remember saying, God, I need your help. I need you to help me. I remember tears flowing down my face, and God knew I was in full sincerity. I remember pulling over on the side of the road next to where Wesley Follett School is now and hanging down my head and feeling so unworthy. But then one thing happened in that car that day. I knew that no matter what would come, no matter what would come, I was going to be able to handle it. No matter what it was that I was going to have to face, I had everything that I needed. Job must have walked into that kind of presence in his time because he said, though they may slay me, all the while I will serve him. And people may hear me talk out in another prayer language when we're praying out. And you may wonder, why is it that we will pray in this way? And I don't know why I'm staying on this. Sometimes when I begin to pray, my words are just not enough. My faith to believe fails me. But then all of a sudden I remember where God brought me from. And I remember the day that a little old lady came and grabbed me and told me, don't wait until it's too late. And I remember them praying that prayer over me and feeling addiction literally lift off of me. And all of a sudden, the praises from my lips open up and speak in a way that I was never able to do on my own. And then all of a sudden, I then possess the faith to be able to pray. If you are an elder of any church, it's not by your age. It's by your willingness to get into the anointing of God. It's God is looking for an elder in this place. He's looking for somebody, night in and night out, that'll get into the presence of the Most High. Not ashamed, not afraid, not intimidated by any man or woman, not intimidated by religion, not intimidated by what day it is, how long they sung, how long they preached. He's looking for somebody. If we abided in the Word of God, we would hear this word come true that says, if there be any sick among you, let them call for an elder. Let them call for somebody that they can trust because they're seasoned in the anointing of God. You could be 12 years old in this place tonight and walk in the same anointing that somebody 75 in here has in their heart. You could have walked a road of alcoholism and attacked your body with that kind of poison all the time and be set free and walk in the same anointing as somebody that had an issue with stealing. God brought us all out of sin. Can we thank God for that? And if that was not enough, if that was not enough, God's love saw that we would not be able to keep our lives just by the law alone, but sent something to us that we today in 2013, 2,000 plus years beyond the death of Christ, could feel what they felt that day when the Holy Ghost came like a mighty rushing wind. I'm glad that that bunch of people back then, those 120, were not the only ones that got to feel the presence of the Holy Ghost. I'm glad that nobody ever talked me into deceiving me to think that there wasn't any kind of Holy Ghost that was meant for me in this life. For I would have to tell them that God saved me when I was 15, but I surely failed and wouldn't have made heaven my home in the addictions and the sin that I continue to live in. I realized but through that sin, that commitment was not enough to keep my life for heaven. But there had to be more inside of my heart for me to know that I know that He delivered me and He saved me, but by the Spirit it is confirmed. Woo! The Spirit of God for you is confirmation. It is your answer. It is your deliverer. It is the one that will bring you out of the darkest day. It'll be there. If I could get somebody to get into the kingdom of God. Denomination, form, and fashion is about to quench the Holy Ghost in our churches. Well, if they want the Holy Ghost, brother, let's just lead them to the room in the side and try to talk to them slowly and through this. That was not the intention. Let me ask you this. When the veil was torn, what do you think came through and ripped that veil?
when he gave up the ghost. What do you think brought that darkness? What do you think brought life? What do you think opened up the stone? What do you think brought life when his body was dead? Woo! When the veil was torn and religion had its final day, there had to be something. Oh, he came from the tomb and was born again, that we could be born again today and enter into the anointing.
When he came back to speak to the 11, he did not come back in his flesh. Woo! But he came back in the form of the Holy Ghost. Said, Jesus, I have to see. Prove to me that it's you. Able to see the wounds that was brought by the nails that he hung upon. If this can't stir your spirit tonight, I apologize, but I'm doing all I can. Hallelujah, you can refuse this if you want to, but it ain't me that you're rejecting. For the Holy Ghost is here tonight to bless you and to lead you in to a deeper walk. To lead.
What caused Peter to step out on the water when Jesus' voice and body was so far away? What spoke to Peter and caused him to go out on the water? What was it that held him on the water? Man, I feel I could preach all night on this. What was it that caused his steps to go forward? What was it that caused him to sink? If you're in the Spirit of God, you may not walk on Cove Lake, but I'll tell you what you will do. You'll overcome every attack of the devil, and you will not believe everything that you hear, and you will not be led astray by unsound doctrine that says that you don't need it. Honey, you've got to get in to the presence of the Holy Ghost.
If we would enter into the presence of the Holy Ghost more often, we wouldn't let all these petty things sweep. I'm telling you, attacks and rumors are just like a cold. Gets on somebody, they'll say something that they shouldn't have said about somebody to somebody else. All of a sudden it gets all up in their spirit. And then all of a sudden they're not able to handle it. So what's the one thing they'll do? They'll get their little ideal, put it out on something else, get in contact with somebody and say, brother, can you believe the nerve that they had? Then that person, having no idea what just happened, is confused about whether they should sit, whether they should stand, whether they should open their mouth, even question what they're called to do. How many of us have wondered from time to time, Lord, is this really? I've asked this before. Is this really what you have for me? Isn't there some offering plate job for me somewhere, God? Isn't there just some job somewhere where I could just wave at people as they pull in the parking lot? Could I just be that guy with the Little Caesar sign that's twisting it and saying, welcome? I'm telling you, without knowing the Holy Ghost, you'll definitely not know what you're called to do. And when I say without the Holy Ghost, let me rephrase that. I don't want anybody to get confused or feel like I'm trying to condemn. What I'm saying is, when you have more of Him, you will understand your calling in a greater way. When you have more of Him, hallelujah, when you are saved, you had faith as a grain of mustard seed in your spirit. You also obtain salvation, which is unbreakable in the eyes of God. You also obtain the portion of spirit that would teach you to recognize when He would come by. Amen. And the more desperate that we'll get to feel more of Him, the less that we'll dwell on where we are. And we'll say it one more time. The more. Is this good tonight? The more that we will get in His presence, the less that we'll dwell on our problems. There's been some times the devil has tried to come by and destroy my marriage. How many of us have been there? Been many times that he tried to come through even my own family. How many of you been there? Somebody will say something not meaning to that pricks your spirit, and all of a sudden here goes the downward spiral to the end of your Christianity. Church member will come by and say something kind of sharp under the anointing. You weren't prepared for it, so all of a sudden you're troubled and don't show up for 3 weeks wondering what in the world it was that they were meaning to say. I'm glad the Word of God spoke to this and said God is not the author of confusion. The Word of God is a promise. When you're in the presence of God,
There is nothing that will ever cause you to fall. And you will never find a time that the presence of the Holy Ghost will not heal. I wrote a piece a little while back on our website about Ezekiel's vision of the waters. And the point that I was trying to get across at the time is not just to think that you're at some point in the water and to think that's as far as you can go. Ezekiel was learning through his vision that there was more out there that he could go to. And once he brought him back to the bank, what was it that was spoke to him? That anybody that would come into these waters, their land, and they would be healed. I don't know if you just came to church to shake somebody's hand and see how they were doing, but I come in every night needing God's healing waters to touch me. I need it every single time. When you read about this, even when it was being spoken unto John, it was referred to the depths that you'll feel in the Holy Ghost was referred to as rivers of living water. By these same rivers of living water, the Word of God says that young men shall dream dreams. They'll get something instilled in them. They know that God sent to them. I know that at the time when I was just starting out in ministry, God gave me that first dream. I didn't know how to handle it at first. But as I prayed, God showed me. And since then, I've been able to take so many steps in God that without Him, I could have never done. When I first started coming to 13th Street, I sat in the back. My hair was long. I didn't have the full knowledge of the truth of the Spirit. And there was a moment in time when I could have just sat right there where I was and said, you know what, God? That's enough for me. Don't you dare, don't you dare be satisfied with that trouble you're feeling and thinking that this is the way it has to be. Don't you dare. Don't let the devil keep you sat down in one spot. And as the parable was spoken, don't let him cause you to bury your talent in the ground. For if you don't use it, he'll give it to somebody else. Tonight I close with this thought. And yes, we're really closing. When you are in the presence of God and you feel the travail happen as you push in your church services where you go, and when you're at home praying and you push when you pray, and when you're trying to help other people and they say, pray for me, brother, when you push for them, you'll feel and enter in to the kingdom of God. It is to be felt in this life. Why? Here it is. Why would God give us the Holy Ghost today? Because our commitment would have not kept us to believe throughout all the years that we are to live. I may be gone tomorrow, but I know what God has put in my heart is enough to carry me for when I'm 40, when I'm 60, when I'm 100. It'll carry me through everything. Are you blessed tonight? Tonight, this night, this word that God has sent forth was for you. If you're wanting to take the next step, don't be afraid. Jesus spoke unto them and said, fear not. Be not afraid, for I am with you. Hear that in your heart. Open up your heart and realize. Verse 15 in chapter 3, the word of God says, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever will believe will not perish. And let's rephrase this, but have the presence of the Holy Ghost. That is your everlasting life to a body that's fading away. That is your strength to a body that will be weak one day. That is the peace of God when you are depressed. That is the financial miracle when you are in debt. That is your friend when nobody else will call you. It is your rest when you can't sleep. It is your healing when your body is ill. It is your companion when they come against you. Hallelujah. It is your knowledge when you're in school. It is your everything. He said that his presence will stick closer to you than a brother. Closer. Closer than blood bond. Closer than anybody that's kin to us. And we know that our hearts are dear to those that are kin to us. God said that I go beyond the blood relationship. And I'm closer to you than anybody that is kin to you in this life. Are you blessed tonight? Church, let's sing and let's obey God. And I encourage anybody that wants to come help pray tonight. Come on. Step on out and let God bless you in obedience.